Happy Monday, Columbus, and ghostly greetings from me, Lindsay, here with Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. I hope you're ready to sit back and shiver, because tonight we're delving into the other side. With Halloween swiftly approaching, ghosts and goblins leap out of our imaginations and onto front lawns, doors, and stores. Our minds are crackling with supernatural imagery, and dark, cool nights spent curled up at home coax out ghost stories and urban legends. Ohioans have a voracious appetite for ghosts, and ghost stories can be pulled by the dozen from each of our 88 counties, a feat which has unofficially earned us the name of Most Haunted State in the Union. From phantom riders to Civil War soldiers, it seems that the dead are unable or unwilling to leave the 17th state. So we thought we'd highlight some of the most famous hauntings, and share some of our first-hand experiences with things unexplainable. Whether or not you believe, this is the perfect way to get into that spooky spirit and to add some spice to your weeknight. About the idea of ghosts that we find so very tempting and terrifying. Since first man learned to talk, we have woven stories of floating white figures, glowing red eyes, and whispers in the night. Now professional teams go out with thousands of dollars worth of equipment to try and record spectral voices and flashes of misplaced shadow. It seems that we really are determined to find a proof of life beyond the grave, but terrified too of what it might hold. Regardless, nearly everybody knows somebody who claims to have seen a ghost. We reached out to our fan base and collected some of their spectral encounters, which we've amalgamated and brought to you here for your listening pleasure. We'll open with a story from Chris, who dove many years back into his memory for this particular tale. I was a senior in high school at Springfield North. This school no longer exists, but it was built very close to the cemetery of an old children's home. There were always rumors that the school theater was haunted, especially by a young child. I never really believed in ghosts, to be honest with you. It seems like the people who told the ghost stories were always the really dramatic people who wanted attention. People always said that there was the ghost of a young boy who would appear backstage before some of the shows. Others said that there were children who would sometimes dance in the lobby during musical productions. There had never been any of these experiences while I was at the school, however, and that's why I was so surprised when I had my own experience one night. I had been directing a show for a theater competition. That often meant I stayed with the theater teacher after rehearsals were over and the school was closed down. I remember one night I was leaving the auditorium and I heard the piano playing from the choir room. I assumed that somebody had stayed behind and was playing piano while they waited for a car. I walked down the room and opened the door, but the lights were off and the music was still playing. I turned the lights on and the music stopped abruptly. There was no one in the room with me. No CD players, nothing to make that noise except for the piano. I called out to see if someone was there, but no one answered, and things just seemed very, very odd and out of place. I turned the lights off and began to walk back towards the auditorium when the music started again. I once again returned, but this time I went into the band room, which was connected to the choir room by a door. Again, the music played until I reached the choir room, where it stopped as I entered. I was really creeped out at that stage, and I thought that the theater teacher must be involved, but when I rushed back to the auditorium, I found that she was sitting in the chair in the front row, finishing some grading. When I told her what had happened, she simply shrugged and said that she had many experiences like that. Oddly enough, about a week later, I saw a light glowing in the choir room during rehearsal time in the auditorium, and no one was in the dark choir room. I didn't think that there was anything paranormal about it until I got home and actually wondered where the light could be coming from. Since then, I've always thought it was kind of an orb or something, but I'm still not entirely sure about that. I mainly think that because of ghost shows on TV. I don't really feel scared about the experience, I feel more sad. My high school was torn down in 2008 or 2009. I don't know what happened to the ghosts that happened to be there, if they still are there, since the auditorium was destroyed with the school. If it really was the ghost of a child who liked to dance to the music from shows, where would it go to live now? I guess that's really weird, but that's my story. Funny enough, theater ghosts are relatively commonplace. Maybe watching a good show helps take the edge off of eternity, or maybe there's something about the dark, cavernous spaces of a theater that makes a tempting home. Of course, theater people are very imaginative, and I know, I am one. And the idea of a theater ghost is sometimes just too tempting to pass up. Still, there are so many rumors out there that it seems impossible that they are all simply fabrications of high-energy actors. My favorite theater ghost tale comes from Middletown, Ohio, in the Sorg Opera House. Built in 1891 for the wife of wealthy Paul Sorg, this impressive stone building has served as a theater for both live plays and film. A second balcony, once used to seat African-American patrons in the Dark Ages before desegregation, was boarded over long ago, and now appears to be part of the ceiling. But despite the bad view, one cherished theatergoer refuses to give up his seat. This nameless man is supposed to be an African-American, and he never fails to miss a show. I can't find what exactly makes people think that he's there, but if he's like other theater ghosts, he probably applauds or is heard shuffling to and from his seat. Crew members like to leave programs for him in the dusty, closed-in seats. A small token of appreciation for their most loyal patron. Another Ohio theater ghost is not a member of the audience, but an actress. Vicky, as she is known, is named in honor of the theater she haunts, the Victoria in Dayton. Built in 1866, this stunning white-fronted building has had ample time to collect its share of the dead, but Vicky is a staff favorite. Legend says that she was last seen going up to her dressing room to retrieve a fan she needed for her next scene, dressed in the black taffeta of her costume. But just where she went after that is still a mystery. She never did make it back on stage that night, and the man guarding the staircase to the actor's dressing room swears he never saw her come down again. The only other way out of that floor would have been through one of the third-story windows. So where did Vicky go? That's where imagination takes flight. Some say that she crawled out a window and eloped with a lover, while the more macabre hold that she was quietly murdered, then hidden away until her body could be disposed of. Either way, no one argues that Vicky is still around. The often occurring scent of rose perfume is attributed to her, and many people, actors, crew members, even a local news team, have heard the ruffle of her taffeta skirts. One woman even claims to have seen the reflection of the back of a woman dressed in a gauzy black gown, which disappeared the moment she turned the face the other way. Not one to believe in spook, she spent quite some time trying to recreate her surroundings to explain away the image. A trick of the light, perhaps, or her own reflection bounced back at an odd angle. But no luck. The mirror never showed her the same picture. Of course, you don't have to go out on the town for a good ghost story. Sometimes the ghosts have the courtesy to come to you. Our next two tales are from Tova, whose childhood experiences weren't fully realized until many years later. The first story happened on Halloween, when I was 12. Both of my brothers had come home to visit, and we were all gathered in the living room, my brothers and my mom and I. Hocus Pocus was on the TV, and my mom said out of the blue, "You know, I'd always thought that our old house was haunted." My brother Joe nodded at her to continue while he gulped down his cider. "Yeah, the house on Alaho. I saw an Indian there one time," my brother Mike interrupted. "An American Indian. Was he in the hallway?" replied my mother. I watched everyone, including myself, glance at each other in hopes that someone would own up to playing a joke on us, which happened much too often in our household. When I was a toddler, we lived in an old cottage by a lake. That's all I can really remember about it. My other memories are of this Indian man, and the same repetitive scenario that would happen every few months. I'd be playing in my bedroom, and when I'd look down the hallway, I'd see this large man walking away from me. He had long, dark hair, and when he'd reached the end of the hallway, he'd turn his head only slightly so that I could just see the tip of his nose, the rest of his face still hidden by his hair. Then he'd walk into the bathroom and disappear. I never said anything to my mother because honestly he didn't scare me. It may seem strange, but I got a sense of calm whenever he was around. I was thinking of this memory when I was interrupted by Joe pointing a finger at our mom. "You're full of crap. How did you know that?" "Was he in the hallway?" Mike asked her. "Yeah, scared the heck out of me when I was doing laundry a few times," she replied. "He just walked down the hall and into the bathroom." Ghost stories and history are two things that naturally go hand in hand. I mean, you can't have ghosts if no one has died, right? It seems that the older the building, the more stories are there. And the Ohio State House is no exception. Completed in 1861, the opulent limestone and marble building is home to massive, beautiful paintings, intricate carvings, and gold-flaked paint. Maybe it's no surprise, then, that so many have chosen to linger in its echoing spaces. The gift shop is supposedly a hot spot of activity, and employees there swear that they hear their names whispered, even when they are the only ones working. Old-fashioned wind-up music boxes begin to play with no one to wind them, and lights and doors are constantly left one way and found another. No one in specific has been pinpointed to these minor acts of mischief, but all the same, it's interesting. And then there's Lincoln, who we'll see make an appearance once more this evening. Now, I wonder how many of you knew that Abe Lincoln not only campaigned right here in Columbus, but also received news of his impending presidency at our very own state house. Yes, indeed, Lincoln received the telegram telling him he had won the election whilst enjoying a stay in Ohio. He was the popular candidate here, so you can imagine how the whole city, indeed the entire state, celebrated upon hearing the news. Columbus arranged an impromptu ball at the state house, clearing out the Senate chambers for the occasion. By all accounts, Lincoln thoroughly enjoyed himself that night, basking in the triumph of his hard-earned win, and enjoying the company of the locals. One woman especially caught his eye. Kate Chase was the daughter of Lincoln's friend and fellow politician, Salmon Chase. All right, it's a dumb name, but he was a brilliant man. Invented the monetary system. Look it up. And his daughter was quite the lovely young woman. With smooth, dark hair and deep, smoky eyes, she must have made quite the impression at the ball, since Lincoln himself danced with her, much to the dismay of Mary Todd. But despite his wife's disapproval, he has returned to continue his waltz. Security guards, visitors, and numerous employees have heard the notes of a violin echoing out of the 128-foot rotunda, and when they investigate, they are met by the waltzing figures of Kate and Abe, smiling at each other and dancing merrily, though the party has long been over.
Yeah.
Welcome back to YouFeed on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, sharing stories of Ohio's vast and illustrious ghost lore. That last song was Blackmore Knight's Ghost of a Rose. But not all ghost stories bring a sense of comfort and peace. Tova's second tale left her feeling disquieted and a bit on edge. My stepbrother Dylan and I have always been convinced that my old bedroom at my mother's house was haunted. It would always be freezing in there, and things would go missing and then reappear where you'd never leave them. For example, a ring in my jewelry drawer went missing, and I found it a few days later underneath a coaster. Well, every few months, this weird thing would happen late at night when I'd be trying to fall asleep. I'd hear the sound of a plastic bag being crumpled up. But whenever I'd go to turn on the light and find it, the sound would stop abruptly. I tore my room apart looking for any logical explanation. No bags, no small animals, and I even checked the vents. The second time it happened, I figured out that the sound was coming from behind the tall standing mirror I had in the corner of my room. I was so freaked out that I covered the mirror with a blanket, and that's when the sound stopped. Every night after that, I'd cover the mirror, and I never heard that sound again. Weird things continued to happen, but no sounds late at night. Occasionally, I'll sleep over my mom's, and a few times I've forgotten to cover the mirror. I'll always be woken up right when I'm about to fall asleep by the sound of a plastic bag. I find it odd how different ghostly encounters can elicit different feelings, although maybe I'm just overthinking it. I mean, after all, different people make us feel different ways. Still, I think we tend to associate ghosts with an uncomfortable feeling. There's something about an unseen guest that really rattles us, especially if they start to pull a little tomfoolery. But maybe, just maybe, we're giving some spirits a bad rep. There's a large group of people who think that most ghosts are stuck here against their will, tied to a place or an object because of some traumatic or emotional event of long ago. An explanation which helps to explain why battlefields and murder sites are so often on the list of most haunted places. In Ohio, you can find a whole slew of such hauntings, but one in particular lingers over the rest. When President Lincoln was assassinated on April 14, 1865, most of the nation went into a deep state of mourning. Lincoln was the man who had carried them through a war, and for many, had given them their freedom. For many long years, he had slogged through the heartbreaking, high-stress events of the Civil War, only to be shot down just as he was able to enjoy himself again. To give the people a chance to say goodbye, his funeral train from Washington to Illinois made frequent stops, allowing the public to file solemnly past the open casket and bid a last farewell to the man that they had come to idolize. Since then, sightings of phantasmal trains have continued to crop up all along the original route, even if the tracks have long since been hauled away. Troy, Ohio, in particular, seems to be a favorite stop of the train. Clusters of people gather every year to try and catch a glimpse of a misty white train, complete with skeletal soldier guards, as it glides past again and again on its way to Lincoln's final resting place. Cemeteries, too, are said to be full of ghosts, perhaps the lingering remnants of souls still searching for the ones they had left in this world. The last story of the evening is from Chelsea, whose research into history brought her an unexpected visitor. We were doing some research for a show I was in at the time that depicted the history of our town. So a few friends and I went to the cemetery to look at the gravestones of the people we were depicting. Well, my character's headstone was all the way across the cemetery, far away from everybody else's. So I went over to get a good look at it and just to record things that were written on it, see if there were any pictures on it and what have you. And then I heard footsteps behind me. At first I assumed it was just one of my friends coming over to see how I was, but when I turned around, there was no one there. There was no one even remotely close to me. Everyone else was crowded by the cemetery gate, which were on the opposite side of the cemetery. I didn't really get a creeped out feeling, and nothing ever happened in the cemetery besides that, but it was still really interesting. Now, Columbus has cemetery ghosts, too, the most prominent of whom is dubbed the Lady in Gray for the color of her Civil War-style traveling dress. She haunts the Camp Chase Cemetery, which houses the graves of Confederate soldiers who died in the Camp Chase prison during the war. Some say her name is Louisiana Rainsburg Griggs, though why exactly is still a little unclear since we have no real evidence of a Miss Griggs frequenting the cemetery or any of the graves. But whoever she is always seen weeping as she moves amongst the tombstones, and cold gusts of air often follow her. In the 80s, an entire staff of Civil War reenactors and their visitors heard her heart-wrenching cries, and the warm day turned cold for a few seconds. Her appearance is sometimes followed by that of flowers on two specific graves, that of the unknown soldiers and that of a Mr. Benjamin F. Allen. Perhaps this southern lady is his sweetheart, left behind in life and mourning for him even in death. So what do you think, folks? Do the dead sometimes linger in this world? We'll probably never know for sure until we breach that great divide ourselves. But either way, it's still fun to think about, especially around Halloween. If we've enticed and enchanted you this evening, and if you'd like to hear more about Ohio ghost stories, the Ohio State House does offer ghost tours with actors portraying some of the ghosts mentioned in this show. It runs October 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th from 7 to 9, but tickets go crazy fast and there are no at-the-door purchases, so buy them ASAP. Just call 614-728-9234 or visit statehouseshop.com and click on holiday. Once again, that's 614-728-9234. Or if you're looking for something smaller, Worthington gives similar tours Friday the 23rd. Call their historical society at 614-885-1247 to learn more. For Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio, this is Lindsay. Good night.